This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, a little Tribe Called Quest here on a Wednesday night. Final hour, Lake Show. We got back-to-back-to-back guests. And the first is in studio, John Baker, founder of Be The Change MN, who he typically joins us once or twice a year.
Yeah.
And, usually around the holiday season, you bring good cheer, man. That's what you do.
Nah, man. Thanks for having me.
I like them shoes. Them shoes, so you need to leave them shoes at the door, man.
Hey,
I don't even care if you wear a bigger size than me.
Hey, and you guys can't see Lake's hat. I love his hat.
He loves the Be The Change hat. But happy to have you back in studio because you guys are always doing amazing events year-round in the schools, at the Mall of America. Everything that you guys touch turns into gold, and it's given back to the community. You are one of the best nonprofits in the state of Minnesota, hands down. And I want you to talk about what you guys are in the midst of doing right now, because one of the things that I feel like, I mean, we're all focused on right now when we're talking about are the people that are going without.
Yes.
And the need is growing by the day.
Yeah.
We are in the midst of a government shutdown. We're having all these conversations. It's funny because one of our coworkers, I was talking to him earlier today, Eureka, just about everything going on with the schools. So talk about some of the things that Be The Change is doing right now.
Well, we're just trying to fill that empty void of happiness. I think a lot of people take that for granted. Without happiness, kindness, you can't get anywhere. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we want to make sure our kids are taken care, and our families. So right now we're doing a big roundup event with Macy's. We have a couple of days left, and Macy's has been tremendous with being a great partner with Be The Change. So if you go to Macy's right now, you can round up when you make a purchase at Mall of America in Ridgedale. And the money that you round up will go to our Kicks and Coats campaign. And what we're trying to do, and we did this last year, like it was amazing. We're trying to get 1,000 coats and 1,000 pair of tennis shoes for our elementary students.
Mm.
It's amazing how it came apart yesterday when we were talking about how this event just – It's amazing how it reaches kids, and families, and makes a big difference of you giving money for a coat or a pair of shoes. I mean, you just got to realize how that makes a kid feel, when they get to come in that school and they have a brand new warm coat and a new pair of tennis shoes. So we're trying to do 1,000 pair of shoes and we're trying to do 1,000 coats. And when I say coats, quality coats, not something that doesn't zip, something that you can wear a couple of years or pass on to your sibling. So that's one thing we firmly believe in. And Macy's they have so overachieved with partnering with us.
And the one thing that people got to understand about, and I think most people do understand this, but we don't always think about it because it's not always top of mind, is that when you are able to get a kid a new pair of shoes or a new coat, it isn't just about it being a new coat. It also impacts that kid's self-esteem and how they feel about themselves, because when they are present and they feel good about themselves, man, they take that into the classroom. They take that into the school.
Yes. I mean, last year when we did this event and we gave out 1,000 pair of tennis shoes and coats, I mean, the parent liaison said, John, those smiles that came in and the kids showing off their new shoes and their coats. A couple of years ago, we did a coat drive and we had people donate coats and we had people donate like slightly worn coats. And it just wasn't good enough for me. So I said, we're going to make sure we get a quality product. And we give them brand new stuff that we would put on our own kids, So that's just my goal for this year, is to raise this money and make sure these kids are warm for the winter time, because it's really serious, you know, out here in Minnesota.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. We're talking to founder of Be the Change, him and John Baker, here on the Lake Show, News Talk 830 WCCO. And when you, and just for clarity, when you talk about Roundup with regards to Macy's, you're essentially talking about if Henry Lake walks into Macy's and I'm buying a comforter, and that comforter is priced whatever it is, like $90.55, and they ask me, do I want to round up to like 91 or whatever it may be, then that, whatever that difference is, that goes towards the campaign.
Yep. It goes right to Be the Change I'm In for our Kicks and Coats campaign.
Okay. That's cool. All right. So that's going on, which is always exciting. But one of my favorite events, man, every single year is the, and this is the fourth annual Winter Wonderland. That event is coming up, and that's lengthy in terms of, like, we still got time because we haven't gotten to Thanksgiving yet and all that stuff, whatever. But that's coming up Sunday, December the 7th. For the people that have never heard you talk about it on air, because we always have new listeners, tell them a little bit about the Winter Wonderland.
Yeah, well, Lake, I have to agree. That's one of my favorite
events.
Oh,
it's awesome.
So we get a chance to take 3,000 families and students to Mall of America, which I have to take my hat off to Mall of America. They've been such a great partner. They give us like 150,000 in-kind donation to shut down the Nickelodeon from 8 o'clock to 12 o'clock. And we get a chance to recreate Nickelodeon, bring in vendors, face painting, any financial barrier that a family would face coming to Mall of America, we get to take it away. And a lot of people don't know, you know, and they take it for granted that everybody can't just run up and go out to Mall of America if you have three kids, you have limited income, and just have the time of your life, because once your kids get out there, they're going to want food. They're going to want the prizes. They're going to want to ride.
Oh, don't even get me started on the food, because man, the food's good in itself.
And we get a chance to give them everything to the highest level, you know. And it's just such a great experience for our kids. And they remember this, you know, for the rest of their life. Just one quick story. One of our parent liaisons said a fifth grader last year was giving her, like, promotion speech about what she remembers most about the fifth grade. And she said, Winter Wonderland. She said, I'll never forget it. You know, that's the kind of impact we want to make, you know, for our kids and our families, just to let them know we care about them, you know.
That's amazing.
Our volunteers, man, I take my hats off to them, too. We have over 250 volunteers, you know, volunteering from corporations to community. And it's just a great event where people are together and they're supporting each other for those 4 hours. It's like a Disneyland or Disney World that we make these kids' dreams come true.
Yeah, and you just stole my thunder right there. Making kids' dreams come true, dude.
Yeah.
Seriously, because, you know, when you're talking about young people at such an impressionable age, we really get a chance to impact in a positive way their lives.
Yes.
And we have to continue to do that. We got to continue to strive for that, because people did things to help us as we were being molded into kids, into teens, and then into adults, and we got to get that back.
Yeah. And like you said, Lake, with so much going on in the world right now, man, I mean, I think everybody should be willing to give a little bit. And that's what happens at Winter Wonderland. You see these smiles. I mean, I talked to one of the volunteers that was her first time coming to Winter Wonderland, and she just broke down and started crying, you know, to see families that happy and kids just being kids. And to be honest, kids don't get to do that anywhere these days.
Yep. No, you're right. All right. So the Winter Wonderland event is coming up on December the 7th. The coats and shoe campaign is going on right now, and you can do the roundup with Macy's. And shout out to Macy's for being an incredible partner for you guys in Mall of America as well. But if people out there that are listening say, man, this sounds amazing. We've heard about it before. We've given before in the past, but maybe people that have never heard about it want to give now. How can they support Be the Change?
Yeah. Well, Henry, the Kicks and Coats campaign will continue on till December 7th. you can go to our website, mm-hmm. bethechangemn.com, and you can click on the link, and it'll take you to our Kicks and Coats campaign. And, you know, every donation is tax deductible, you know. And, I mean, that's how you can give back. You know, it's a thousand coats, but they're breaking it down day by day. People are giving. Last year, shout out to Jay McDaniel.
Yeah, Jay Mac.
I mean, he gave us like $10,000 to go towards coats. I mean, we just got some great partners and great people that care, you know. And I think if everybody took on this one coat, one shoe at a time, you know, we would get to our numbers and we'll make sure our kids are safe.
Check it out. The website again, bethechangemn.com. That's founder John Baker joining us in studio here on The Lake Show. All right, coming up next, we've got to talk Twins. We have a new manager in Derek Shelton who has just been hired. We're going to talk to the beat writer reporter from the Minnesota Star Tribune. That will be Bobby Nightingale Jr. He joins us next year on the show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, the breaking news at the top of the show was that the Minnesota Twins have selected and hired their new manager, Derek Shelton, who most Twins fans are familiar with. In his time here in Minnesota, he returns after his stint as the manager for the Pittsburgh Pirates, and joining us now on the John Schuster-Cole Banker Hotline to discuss and talk about the new hiring of Derek Shelton as the new Twins manager will be Bobby Nightingale Jr. He is joining us now from the Minnesota Star Tribune. Bobby, always a pleasure to have you on the show. How you been?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. The fact that Derek Shelton is the selection, your thoughts on that just in general?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it comes as a complete surprise. I mean, when they hired Rocco Baldelli a little more than 7 years, 8 years ago now, he was a finalist for it, former bench coach, so familiar with the organization. So, familiar face. I mean, it seemed like at the end of the process, that's kind of where they were leaning, with someone familiar with the organization. James Rowson seems like he was the runner-up. He was their former hitting coach during the Bomba Squad days and Yankees hitting coach currently. So felt like they leaned towards the familiar, and not a surprise that Derek Shelton's the guy that came out of it.
I'm with you on that. And I think it's also it comes across as the safe pick, that, you know, it's a guy that Falvey knows. He's been around the organization. He's familiar with the landscape of Twins baseball. Do you think that that's maybe how a lot of people view it too?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably not like the bold, you know, trendy pick, you know, that's going to create a bunch of buzz. But I do think if you did like a blind resume, you know, this is a guy who spent time in Tampa Bay, progressive organization, Cleveland, who somehow wins a lot with low payrolls. He's been part of the Yankees, you know, player development staff. So he's been with a lot of teams that, you know, either win with low payrolls or just win, period, if you're with the Yankees. So, yeah, he had the stint in Pittsburgh that didn't go well, five-plus seasons, no playoff appearances where they had a low payroll. But, you know, I think if you went blind, you know, blind resume, I do think he stands out a little bit more than just a guy who failed with the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah, I give you that, but I think that the thing that people on the text line, because it's not even close, the text line and people reacting, Twin fans are not excited by this. They're not, and I know that some of it is skewed because they're like, oh, same old Polads. And, you know, we love to be just upset about everything, right? The bottom line is that when you look at this situation, one of the things that to me is that typically when a person has a head managerial job and they're not successful, like they're not even close to being successful, that typically, you know, you take a couple of years to build up your resume, you go to another spot, and you put yourself in a position to land another manager's job. That's not the case. He was fired this year and has immediately landed a job What do you say to the Twins fans that look at that and they're like, well, hold on, he probably should have worked to put himself back in the situation?
Yeah, and that's fair. I mean, I think that's something he's going to have to answer for is, you know, why didn't it go well in Pittsburgh, and what exactly did you learn in 6 months that's going to make you a better manager in your second job? But I do think there's a big jump from first manager job to second. Like, Joe Torre was terrible with the Mets, his first manager job, and ended up being a Hall of Fame manager. So I don't think going poorly in one spot is necessarily indicative of that's how it's going to be in the future. But I also think it's important to consider, you know, there were 8 openings this offseason at one time, I think 10 total. The Twins didn't rank very highly on that. I mean, if you asked around the league, you know, where would you rank the Twins job in terms of attractiveness? It was pretty low. So, I mean, I think that plays a part in the consideration, too, is, you know, you're not going to be able to get the big fish. They're, you know, this is not a win now part of the rebuild. So, I mean, I do think there are some additional considerations, especially the trade deadline last year, the ownership situation, that gives some people some pause when you're talking about, okay, what candidates can we draw to this opening?
Do you think that Derek Shelton takes this job if there's a lot of conversation about moving some of the top-tier talent that's still here away from the Twins? Because we know that when we talk about attractive opportunities, this, that, the other, whatever, one of the things, regardless of how Twins fans view the team and maybe they're being down on the team, is that if you look at the Twins, Buxton, he's here. Joe Ryan, he's here. Pablo, he's here. So do you think that maybe, I don't know if they could tell him that, yeah, absolutely 100% these guys will be here and a part of the organization, but do you think that there was a conversation about that going into this process?
I'm sure that probably had to have came up. I mean, he came through Pittsburgh, which their payroll never went up during his time there. They never really acquired hitters. They had Paul Skeens, you know, the star pitcher, and never had a chance to really build around him, and weren't able to kind of build on any success there. So I'm sure that came up in terms of, okay, what are we looking for here for the future? But you do have to remember, I mean, he's close friends with Rocco Baldelli. So, I mean, if anyone's going to have insight on the organization and the health of the organization, it's going to be Derek Shelton. So for him to say, okay, I still want to manage here, you know, I still want this opportunity, tells you at least he had a pretty good insight of what was going on around here, and still, you know, signed up for it and was enthusiastic about it.
That's kind of an interesting angle, though, in itself, I think, with Twins fans and how their reactions will be over the coming week or so, is the proximity to Rocco. Like, that's going to be an interesting dynamic on how they're going to react just based off of that.
Yeah, and I do think it's kind of a similar managerial style. You know, I don't think this is – usually when you fire a manager, you kind of go the opposite direction. Okay, if you hire an old-school manager, you go new school, or, you know, vice versa. I do think this is kind of, okay, this is the Rocco style. This is a different guy. Derek Shelton, he's going to have a little bit of different ways about him, but also comes from the Rays, also has kind of that same background, did kind of the same things in Pittsburgh where it was a lot of platoon hittings, a lot of lineup shuffling. So, I mean, I do think it's going to be kind of a little bit of the same in terms of managerial philosophy that we saw with Rocco, which, you know, kind of probably says where the Twins felt about, you know, when they got rid of Rocco, going for a different voice. They, you know, they still probably liked what Rocco was doing in terms of, you know, just someone had to be a fall guy at the end of the season, but they weren't necessarily displeased with kind of his personality or his style.
Yeah. Talking to Bobby Nightingale Jr. here on the Lake Show, News Talk 830 WCCO. A beat writer, covers the Minnesota Twins and Major League Baseball for the Minnesota Star Tribune. A final thing for you, Bobby, and then we'll let you go. I guess of all the things that this team needs to address here in the offseason, what would you rank at the top?
Well, I mean, I think first off, it has to be who are the new minority owners that are coming in. I mean, that's still been kept under wraps for a couple months now, but you know, I think that's going to whoever the groups are, one's from Minnesota, one's from the East Coast, is going to weigh in on payroll. And yeah, the team has to pay down a lot of debt, up to, you know, near $500 million in debt. And I think that's a big part of it. But, you know, are they going to try to compete for this year? I think that's where it starts, is who are these new owners that are coming in. And, you know, if you mentioned earlier, I mean, if you keep Pablo Lopez, Joe Ryan, and Byron Buxton, I mean, there are guys to build around. It's not necessarily start at square zero and, you know, complete rebuild that's going to take 4 or 5 years. You could speed it up a little bit if you have pitching, and Twins do have pitching right now, but, you know, let's see if they keep them in the offseason.
Hey, Bobby, thanks for joining us on short notice, man, on a evening where the Minnesota Twins are breaking some news.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks, Lake.
All right, take care. That's Bobby Nightingale Jr. joining us here on The Lake Show. The news of the night, Derek Shelton, the new manager for your Minnesota Twins. Coming up next, it's Breeders' Cup weekend. Friday, the juveniles, the big boys and gals on Saturday, the classic coming up. It's Breeders' Cup weekend. Let's dissect it and talk to Angela Herman from Canterbury Park. She joins us next year on The Lake Show. All right, this weekend we've got the Breeders' Cup. And who is it that we have on the line to check in and talk horses with? Angela Herman from Canterbury Park. She joins us on the John Schuster Coal Banker Hotline. Ange, how you been?
I've been wonderful. This is a great time of the year to be a horse player. And like you said, the Breeders' Cup is coming up this weekend. World Series is going on right now. The Wolves are getting started up. It's been so much fun to be out there in all sorts of sporting aspects. But this is the big jewel for horse racing. This is the year-end championship. And it's out at Del Mar this year in California.
How would you best describe the Breeders' Cup for people out there that maybe aren't as familiar with the horses? I mean, would you describe it as the Super Bowl of horse racing?
I would say so, and it goes to divisional honors. So there's going to be a lot of different races to sort out, really, the cream of every sort of horse. You know, there's going to be short races on the dirt and the turf. There's going to be longer races on the dirt and the turf. Friday is all about two-year-olds. So juveniles that are just coming up and really getting their racing career started are the highlight of Friday's five races. And then Saturday is the showcase for some of the vets that we've seen along the Triple Crown Trail through the years. Some old war horses really coming back. There's a lot of nine-year-olds and some other horses that have revived their careers. So you get a good blend of everything, and it really puts the final stamp on who is going to be crowned year-end championship with the two-year-olds, the three-year-olds, and beyond.
All right, so big news occurred earlier today. It was some speculation yesterday about Sovereignty, just the horse of the year, I think, by most people's opinions, when you look at how well that horse has been, has scratched because of having a fever. And so Sovereignty was going to be the favorite. Was the favorite, because the morning line for the Classic, the Breeders' Cup Classic, had Sovereignty at 6-5. Just your thoughts on the impact of Sovereignty not being in the Classic and how the field shapes up now.
I think it gets very wide open, because the next possible option, you know, if you were going to try to find one of the favorites on paper, is Fierceness. And Fierceness drew the rail. Now, the rail wouldn't be so bad, except it's a big field, and it's tough. It's one of the best classic fields that ever has been assembled. And to overcome all the traffic he might encounter on the inside or having to go too fast, I thought left it as a wide-open race. I like a big long shot in that field now. I mean, journalism being out of there, but Sovereignty being out of there is not one of just a big scratch in the Classic. It's a big scratch as far as gambling goes. He was going to be a single on a lot of different tickets,
yep.
And that shakes out a lot of different ways that people are going to have to play. They might have to cut down different races and spread out now in the Classic. I happen to like a horse named Nevada Beach. He's not going to be 20-1 anymore. He's probably going to be about half of that, but he's sort of the late comer to the whole equation, as a lot of the rest of the field have their credentials well established through the year. He is just getting good now.
Nevada Beach is an amazing horse, and you're right. Like, I think that if we're talking about the Classic and horses that are really, you know, getting into, you know, a rhythm of really improving, I think that Nevada Beach is probably, arguably, at the top of the list. That last race that horse ran, I can't remember which race it was, but I remember watching it. And I wagered on the race that day, and I did have Nevada Beach in my exotics. But that horse is a Baffert horse, Mike Smith, you know, veteran rider. You got a great shot, and you're right. Like, the fact that Sovereignty is no longer in this field, 100%. I think it makes it more wide open, but the odds in the wagering is going to come way down on a bunch of horses across the board. Nevada Beach is a great horse, but you know a horse that there's a couple of horses I want to ask you about. One of them is Mindframe. So Mindframe has got great credentials, always runs a really good race, had some issues with staying focused at the end of races and stuff like that, whatever. But last time out, lost his rider, so you have to kind of throw that one out. What are your thoughts on Mindframe, though?
Mindframe is one of the two horses from the Rapoli stable. Of course, you hear a lot more about the other one, Fierceness, but Mindframe hasn't been seen much in the latter part of the year, and sometimes that is where you can find value. If a horse has really established themselves early on, if they had a good spring like Mindframe did, they don't need to do quite as much work in the later part of the year. But the problem is he's done no work as a result of losing his rider in what was supposed to be a prep for this. And some other hiccups along the way, you will get a price on Mindframe. I would guess that you'll get something like 8 or 10 to 1. I just question if that same Mindframe is going to show up that was such a star at Churchill in the spring.
You know, one of the – and we're talking to Angela Herman from Canterbury Park here on the Lake Show, News Talk 830 WCCO. One of the horses that I've just absolutely loved this year, because the horse continues to get better every single time, and you just talked about Nevada Beach, and I feel the same way about Antiquarian. That horse is a horse that's getting better every time it runs. And to me, when you start looking at some of these big money races with where everybody's talented in the field, I'm looking for upside. Not only am I looking for upside, I'm looking at the odds. I don't know what's fair to get on Antiquarian now with the scratch of Sovereignty. You tell me what you think a fair price is.
I think a fair price on him would be around 12 to 1. I think that Antiquarian is going to have to fight to get a little position early. He does have some speed, and that's another big talking point of the Classic. There's going to be a horse in here that is set for the lead. That's the four contrary thinking. And he comes from the same stable as the defending champion in this race, Sierra Leone. And any horse that's like Sierra Leone is looking for something hot and heavy early so that they can run down some of the front runners late. Antiquarian's not looking for that. He's kind of going to be swimming upstream as far as contrary thinking goes. So if he can keep himself a little bit further back, I think he would be a great, great value at 15 to 1. There's just going to be some choices to be made by Luis Saez, and that's what's going to give you that value on him and a couple of other horses in here that need to prove it that they can do it on the big stage.
I feel like every time I go to wager on Forever Young, who is extremely talented, I'd never cash a ticket. Your thoughts on that horse?
Well, Forever Young is a horse from Japan. So horse racing in Japan is a totally different routine and program, and Forever Young has adapted really well when he's been brought over for American racing. He's previously raced in the Breeders' Cup at Del Mar, and he was third in the Kentucky Derby. He seems to get in some trouble. And you talk about horses that come from behind, like a Sierra Leone, like Forever Young. Their main adversary is going to be traffic. They're going to have something to run into. They just have to get around each other, and that's proven a problem for Forever Young. The fitness is there. The ability is there. I don't think you're going to get as much maybe value on him as you would an Antiquarian, but they both have very solid credentials to handle the task at hand, and they both drew pretty well, too. So of the two, I guess I would lean to Forever Young. But I just think that he's already proven he can do it, so he'll be a little bit lower of a price.
All right, so tell me, how do you think this shapes up? Who do you like?
I'm going to stick with Nevada Beach just on the hope that he gets an inside trip. He'll probably be close to Antiquarian early. I would guess that he'll get first run. What I mean by that is he'll be sitting in the middle of the field instead of at the back when the pace starts to slow down up front. And maybe he can get a head start, so to speak, at a decent price. You never know when they're going to turn a corner like this. We talked about the corner that we think that he has turned, and if Nevada Beach can show up with another step forward, and he'll need a big one, I think that he might be catching some horses at the end of their really solid campaigns, whereas he is really striking while the iron's hot and the price is going to be right.
All right, so tell me this. The way that I look at this race, and I could be wrong, I feel like every single horse in this field can win. With the exception of, I'm not into contrary thinking. I just don't think that the horse is going to wire everybody. But I think you can make a case for everybody else. Baeza, I think, has got a shot. I think Mindframe's got a shot. Even Journalism, I think, has a shot, and they have a new rider in Jose Ortiz.
And these are the kind of things that make the Breeders' Cup so much fun to bet. You mentioned that he has a new rider in Jose Ortiz. Could be different tactics in play. Each one of these horses has run a race that can beat all of the others. But putting them against each other not only makes their price a little bit more appetizing, but makes the race so much harder to handicap because they can put themselves in the right spot. So it comes down to the jockeys or the post positions, little things like that. And you can get into it. You can get the info online. You can study all of it. And everybody's going to look at it a different way. It's such a fun thing to get into, and there's a lot of wagers tied to the Classic, too. So if you delve deep into that and you find a horse you really like, it's going to give you an edge.
So wait, are you saying that me and you are going to put a ticket together this weekend?
Hey, I'm ready when you are.
Okay. You heard that. This is on the radio. She said, I can put together a ticket with Angela Herman. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yes. Yes. The opportunity is there whenever you'd like. I mean, you can come on out. We have a seminar tomorrow night if anybody's interested in maybe coming and joining us. You can tune in and get my thoughts on different things. You don't have to just get me on the radio, Henry, anytime you'd like.
Well, hold on. First off, people out there, please understand that you can be a part of Canterbury College tomorrow and join Angela and the folks at Canterbury and be a part of figuring out how to tackle the Breeders' Cup this weekend. But also, Angela, from my perspective, I can't unfortunately be there because I'm going to be here. You know that.
I know. Big radio star. We wish you could be there.
Oh,
we know you'll be there in spirit. But here's the preview to it. You know, you're getting some of my preliminary thoughts, including my 20-1 shot in Nevada Beach. So what else could you ask for?
All right, so real quickly, I told you this ahead of time, so I want you to make good on it. Give me two interesting horses that people should be paying attention to over the course of the Breeders' Cup that you like or has a shot or has an interesting at least storyline or backstory. And clearly there is one this weekend, a horse with Minnesota ties.
Absolutely. That's the second one that I'll mention. The first one I'm going to mention only because she's in the very first Breeders' Cup race of them all. On Friday at about 4:45, race 6 at Del Mar is the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint. It's the very first one of the weekend, the very first Breeders' Cup race. And it features males and females. They go 5 furlongs on the turf. And I like a filly that I think is going to be in probably the 5 to 6 to 1 range. And her name is Cy Fair. Remember, race 6, number 10, Cy Fair, who has shown so much professionalism in her first 3 starts and has a great turn of foot and gets Irad Ortiz, who's looking for his 4th win in the race. That is how you build up your bankroll. And you go to the 6th race on Saturday. That's the Breeders' Cup Sprint. And that's going to be the 3rd Breeders' Cup race of the day. And the 6th race is loaded. There's a big, big field for it. It's going to go off at about 3:20. And if you go towards the outside of the gate, number 13, Madhouse, really got his skills together and sharpened himself in Minnesota this year. Yes, he ran at Canterbury Park. He broke his maiden. He won an allowance race in the mud, and he won a 3rd race in a row by 8 lengths. That led to them shipping Madhouse out to Philadelphia, and he ran at a track called Park in a grade 2. Now, grade 2 is just a notch below the grade 1s that are going to be running on Saturday at Del Mar and Friday, for that matter. But Madhouse won that race and won it impressively by a couple of lengths at over 23-1, and that was what set him up to get to the Breeders' Cup, and that's really been the target ever since. Local Hall of Famer David Van Winkle trains him, and Madhouse is going to be ridden by Luis Saez. His morning line is 30-1.
What?
He really shouldn't be too far off that. I know there's a lot of speed in the sprint, but it's hard not to bet with your heart a little bit. I'm going to have Madhouse in my plays, and there's going to be a few bucks on him. He is fast, and he is getting better at the right time. Really, Madhouse has just been building momentum all summer long, and he has just as good a shot as any to pull an upset in the sprint, especially given his outside draw.
Hey, Ange, thanks for the information. Thanks for the wisdom. Thanks for your time. I appreciate it, breaking down the Breeders' Cup. Good luck at the windows this weekend, and I will see you out of Canterbury.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, I'll be waiting. I'll be waiting there to build the ticket with you, Henry. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and good luck to you and everyone in the Breeders' Cup.
That's Angela Herman from Canterbury Park joining us here on The Lake Show. We'll take a break, we'll do headlines, and then we'll wrap up the show, and we'll do that next. All right, we're going to wrap up the show with headlines with Chris Tubbs. Quick reminder that tomorrow is my final show of the week. I think that Matthew Collar is in for me on Friday. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Because I'm off on Friday.
Yeah, I'm planning on no football, and we'll see how that goes. Apparently, he's a football guy. I don't know if you've heard about that. Rumor has it. Hey, former Minneapolis police officer Tu Tao, last officer convicted following the murder of George Floyd, is set to be released from prison. According to the Minnesota Department of Corrections records, Tao, who's been serving a concurrent 57-month state sentence and a 3.5-year federal sentence at a facility in Lexington, Kentucky, is scheduled for release on Monday, according to Minnesota Department of Correction records. Now, he was found guilty in 2023 of aiding and abetting second-degree manslaughter, had previously been convicted on federal civil rights violation charges related to George Floyd's murder. He was sentenced in Hennepin County of August of 2023 after refusing to take a plea deal that other officers ended up getting, and at the top of the sentencing guidelines from Judge Peter Cahill, who noted a lack of remorse. The four officers involved in the arrest and eventual death of Floyd in May of 2020 all were sentenced to time behind bars. Both Lane and King have been released, which means Derek Chauvin, who faced the stiffest penalty, will remain in prison.
Yeah, it's interesting that it's not interesting. It's just like he's set to be released.
Yeah, I mean he's done his time.
I agree with you. He's done his time. Like he was convicted and he's done his time.
I'm curious to see what kind of backlash or reaction there's going to be, because he's served his time. So hopefully this is one of those that he gets out and he goes about his business and we all go forward. You know what I mean? And we don't have any of this, acrimonious, situations out there. Speaking of acrimonious situation, the Trump administration is reassigning at least half of the top leadership at Immigration and Customs Enforcement offices around the country in a major shakeup of the agency responsible for carrying out the president's vision for mass deportations. This according to one current and one former U.S. government official. The current official, who was not authorized to speak publicly on the matter and spoke on conditions of anonymity, said 12 ICE field office directors, the officers who run the network out of field offices around the country responsible for immigration enforcement, were being reassigned. Half are to be replaced by existing or retired Custom and Border Protection staff, while the other half would be replaced by ICE officers, both the current and former officials said. Changes were initiated by the Homeland Security Department, the current official said, without specifying which cities were impacted. Now, the former official, who has direct knowledge of the changes, and spoke on condition of anonymity to discuss information that was not intended for public release, said on top of the 12 reassignments, leaders in another four cities were being swapped out through retirements and or other circumstances. He said the cities include major immigration enforcement targets like Chicago, Los Angeles, and Washington.
We know why this is being done. We know why this is a thing. It's because they feel like the Trump administration, like we're not being heavy-handed enough. So get these people out. I want some more people in.
Our city's burning. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've been murdered right outside. I mean, it happened to me last night when I was leaving. I mean, it's happened to me multiple times. I can't even tell you. I can't wait. Hey, I can't wait for Bad Bunny at the Super Bowl, but if you can't wait for it, you're not a Bad Bunny fella or gal. Well, you're going to have Sting, not the wrestler, not Steve Borden, but Sting from the Police. Now, he's going to headline a Super Bowl branded concert on my birthday, February 6th, at the Palace of Fine Arts in San Francisco.
Hey, now.
Yeah, the NFL's hospitality provider on location announced Tuesday. Concert will take place 2 days before the Super Bowl kicks off at Levi Stadium in Santa Clara on February 8th.
I'm a fan of Sting.
I am too.
I saw him at the Armory.
I did not.
Yeah, he was awesome. That's the only time I've ever seen him, and he was awesome. Definitely would go back and watch him again.
Yeah, now I've seen the wrestler many times. I have not seen the singer once.
I got you.
But he was a suspect in Only Murders in the Building, though. So he was a suspect in that, but I think ultimately he was cleared because he wasn't back for season two. Hey, Go ahead. I was just going to say, if you haven't gotten enough of Wikipedia or you're not a fan, that's fine, because Elon Musk launched Grokopedia, not Gronkopedia, Grokopedia. his version of Wikipedia on Monday as the richest man alive in the world, furthers to create an alternative information and media ecosystem molded to his views. The articles were written by Musk Grok AI, and the site mimics Wikipedia's minimalistic style, page structure, and reference style, but Grokopedia is far smaller so far, just over 800,000 articles compared to Wikipedia's 7 million. Of course, Elon Musk wrote on X, the goal of Grok and Grokopedia.com is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
That's a lie.
We will never be perfect, but we shall nonetheless strive towards that goal. Adding that he hopes to...
Liar! Elon Musk, you liar, you!
No, he's telling us the truth because, I mean, let's be honest. Elon Musk is absolutely right when he accused Wikipedia of having a strong liberal bias and accused Wikipedia of being controlled by far-left activists.
Mm. Okay. I have no idea what the out is.
5750.
Oh, okay. I was confused. Okay.
Yeah, it was 5550, but now it's 5750.
Yeah, that's how I was looking. I kept looking at the clock, people, and I'm like, okay, hold on. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Inside radio business.
Yeah. I should have talked to you about that ahead of time. I just assumed that it was 5550 because every night it's 5550.
Well, I know. Well, we got into headlines late and you wanted to do it. So what? I'm like, you know
Tell
what?
Tell me we
got to
pivot then. Tell me we got to pivot.
Pivot! Anyway, pivot!
We're done here.
We are.
On the show.
Yep.
Full show tomorrow. Matthew Collar, who we just previously mentioned, he will be joining us, talking Vikings football. Talk to you guys tomorrow at 6 p.m. right here on The Good Neighbor.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.